Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
To associate one thing with something else, to try to let you see the first thing differently. Does that make sense? You want an easy example? When I was in my 20s, I saw a documentary on TV that described shrimp as the cockroaches of the sea. They just crawl across the bottom of the ocean, filtering out things. They're just like big pink cockroaches. Yeah, that ruined me. I've tried to eat shrimp again. I don't like it. I just can't. Not because I didn't like it before I knew that, but now every time, even lobster sometimes, just crush it up, put it in a bisque, I'll try it, it's good. But even a lobster tail, I just see this gigantic rear end of a cockroach.
Amen.
So that has nothing to do with my sermon tonight, except for to create an illustration of why sometimes from the pulpit we create illustrations to try to make you see things differently that are in your world. Never look at a shrimp the same way. And that wasn't even part of it. That was just an example. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight for this opportunity to be the mouthpiece for you. Lord God, I pray that you'd speak through me. I pray that you would open hearts and minds tonight. I pray that these words would be your words. I pray that this message would speak life to people, that they would be encouraged by it, that they would leave differently than they came, that it would change their perspective tonight, Lord Jesus. In your holy name, amen. Amen. I want you to turn into the Old Testament, to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14. I'll give you a minute to get there. Tonight's sermon is entitled, Look Alive. Look Alive. If you're taking notes, you can also take this moment to silence your cell phones, unless you like being pointed out in the middle of the sermon. I won't call you out by name, but when your phone goes off, everybody's going to look at you. Zechariah chapter 14. So let me set this book up for you, Zechariah. Zechariah was a prophet. This is the time the Israelites were taken over by an empire and moved to Babylon. Their city was destroyed. Their temple was destroyed. They were enslaved for 70 years. This is the point where they have come back out of that slavery in Babylon, and they have entered back into the promised land, the Holy Land, but it's a rough go. And they're having a hard time, and they're feeling discouraged. They're still being oppressed by their neighboring lands. And they haven't rebuilt the temple, and they haven't done what God's called them to do. They're just having a really difficult season. So Zechariah is a prophet, and he comes by during this time to bring some encouragement to them. And Zechariah, he warns Israel not to repeat the sins that had led to the exile. And he called those who were wavering between God's truth and human wisdom to return back to God, obey the commands of God's covenant, and practice justice in the land. So they had been in slavery for a while, and the whole apple cart got tipped over, and now they're trying to figure it out again. And Zechariah's mission here is to help them come to repentance, spiritual renewal, and to return to right relationship with God. That's what the book of Zechariah is dealing with here. So we're looking at Zechariah chapter 14. We're going to look in verse 12. Zechariah 14, verse 12. It says this, "And the Lord will send a plague on all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their people will become like walking corpses. Their flesh will rot away. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths." I said, change your perspective. Follow me. Follow me. I didn't say anything about that. I'm talking about the prophet Zechariah here tonight. He's telling Israel to not be wavering in the decision to follow God's truth or to follow human wisdom. He wants them to repent and find spiritual renewal and return to a right relationship with God, because to do otherwise would be to live just like their oppressors do. And their oppressors' future punishment will be that they will be like walking corpses. It's God's wrath. He's bringing punishment on those who are trying to oppress God's people. In Psalms 35, the future King David says this: O Lord, oppose those who oppose me. Fight those who fight against me. Don't let them say, look, we got what we wanted. Now we will eat him alive. We are not physically there yet as a culture. We're not walking around like corpses, our flesh rotting off our bones. We're not looking to eat people alive yet. But obviously, it's possible someday. But spiritually speaking, a plague has taken over society, and it's bringing death, and it's spreading. Now, I'm a firefighter, and I'll tell you, as a firefighter, you see a lot of physical death. More than you'd think. And so I had this philosophy or this idea that it's easy to deal with because it's your job. That we say things like that. Oh, it's just my job. And that'd be easy to deal with. You just want to disassociate from it. But that's easier said than done. The reality is you can't disassociate from it. And you want to, and you can try to, but that's really just not the way it works. It still hurts. Even if it's not my emergency, even if it's just my job, it still hurts. When you see people in harm's way, when you see people die before it's their time, when you see people die and it is their time, and you're dealing with their families and the ones left behind, it hurts. It's not fun, and it sticks with you. And the reason why is because every dead person is somebody's loved one. Every single one of them. Everybody that I see that has died, whether they died in a traumatic accident or a sudden cardiac arrest, or whether they were really old or really young, they're somebody's loved one. They're somebody's child. They're somebody's, oftentimes they're somebody's parents, brothers and sisters, and it hurts. Every dead person is somebody's loved one, and it's impossible for them to not grieve the loss of the one they love. And I don't think I even need to ask. I'm pretty sure if you've lived long enough on this planet, you've experienced some loss. And you're grieving that loss every day. I'm grieving the loss of people that I didn't even know why they were alive. Because when I met them, they were already dead. But it hurts to think about. The spiritually dead person is God's loved one. And he grieves their loss also. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6 says this: When the Lord saw that man's wicked... I'm sorry, let me start over. Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 5. When the Lord saw that man's wickedness was widespread on this earth, and that every scheme his mind thought of was nothing but evil all the time, the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Did you hear that? When the Lord saw that all of man's ways were wicked all the time, he regretted making man, and it grieved his heart. The heart of God was grieved because man was wicked and spiritually dead. Since man's creation, his sinful nature has made him spiritually dead and apart from God. All the way back in Genesis chapter 6. This is a perspective change. That's what I'm requiring tonight. You have to change your perspective. You need to see people with the eyes of Jesus. Truly see the value in people. They are God's loved ones. The dead are not the enemy, but a fellow victim suffering with a virus called sin. We're all carriers, and we're all infected. Amen. Are you encouraged? I'm going to wind it up. You'll get encouraged towards the end. I'm trying to set a perspective here. I can't be encouraged by the thought that I was spiritually dead and God was grieving me. So much he had to send his son to die a physical death that I could be redeemed to him. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And it should grieve your heart to know that that's what needed to be done to bring redemption. But it did. We're all infected. Amen. Why don't you turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is the verse I want to key in on this morning. Ephesians chapter 2. I'll give you a second to get there. Ephesians, that's New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in this unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Verse 4, but God is so rich in mercy, and He loves us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. Amen. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 7, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this because it is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so none of you can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things He planned for us long ago. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Look alive! My first point is this. We should have compassion for the dead because we were dead once too. We should have compassion for the dead because we were dead once too. I'm going to start in verse 1 again. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in this unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us who used to live that way, now following the passion, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. Does that sound like a culture that you know of? That spend their time and encourage following the passionate desires and inclinations of your sin nature? By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Without Jesus, people are lost, confused, and hungry. When you look out on the street, when you looked out at the parade today, when you go to the mall, people are walking around lost, confused, and hungry because they don't have Jesus Christ in their lives. I want to read a quote to you. Listen to the words of this quote. What am I doing with my life? I'm so pale. I should get out more. I should eat better. My posture is terrible. I should stand up straighter. People would respect me more if I stood up straighter. What's wrong with me? I just want to connect. Why can't I connect with people? Oh, right. It's because I'm dead. I wish I could introduce myself, but I don't remember my name anymore. I mean, I think it started with an R, but that's all I have left. I can't remember my name or my parents or my job, although my hoodie would suggest I was unemployed. Sometimes I look at others and try to imagine what they were. Now they're all just corpses. I have a hard time piecing together how this whole apocalypse thing happened. It could have been chemical warfare, or airborne virus, or radioactive outbreak monkeys. But it doesn't really matter, because this is what we are now. This is a typical day for me. I shuffle around, occasionally bumping into people, unable to apologize or say much of anything. It must have been so much better before when everyone could express themselves and communicate their feelings and just enjoy each other's company. A lot of us have made our homes in the airport. I don't know why. People wait in airports all the time, I guess, but I'm not sure what we're all waiting for. They're the bonies. They don't bother much of us. They don't bother us much, but they will eat anything with a heartbeat. I mean, I will too, but at least I'm conflicted about it. We all become them someday. At some point, you just give up, I guess. You lose all hope. After that, there's no turning back. This is what we all have to look forward to. It's kind of a bummer. I don't want to be this way. I'm lonely. I'm lost. I mean, I'm literally lost. I've never been in this part of the airport before. This is my best friend. By best friend, I mean we occasionally grunt and stare awkwardly at each other. We even have almost conversations sometimes. Whole days pass this way. But sometimes we even find actual words, like hungry. I don't like hurting people, but this is the world now. The new hunger is a powerful thing. I just want to feel a little less dead. Now, there's lots of spiritual parallels in this quote, because a lot of people are lost and lonely, yearning for relationships in real life. It's kind of funny. It's kind of a funny quote. But, you know, I can totally relate to this. I know I felt all alone in a crowd of people, surrounded by friends but trapped in a corpse I can't get out of, rotting on the inside, and no one seems to notice or care. Can't they smell it? What are we all doing here? Why can't I fight this hunger for flesh? Why do I keep hurting people? When will somebody finally notice and expose me? Maybe never, if I just keep grunting and shuffling, just like everybody else, to fit in. I don't know about you, but I felt that way. I don't know about you, but I felt hopeless, feeling like that nobody really knows who I am, and nobody really wants to know. That I can be in their presence, but they never let me in. That I could disappear forever, and they probably wouldn't notice I was gone. That my phone never rings. I've been there. I felt that hopeless feeling. And although I wasn't physically dead, I sure felt spiritually dead. We all want to feel a little less dead. So let's have some compassion for God's loved ones, because we've all been there, amen? My second point is this. Jesus is the cure. Jesus is the cure. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 4. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loves us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only because God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Jesus is the only reason you are no longer dead. Jesus is the only reason you are no longer dead. We should be sharing the cure with the corpses. That is why Jesus came. When you see people shuffling around, dead inside, glassy-eyed, going through the motions, you should share with them the cure. If you've been cured, if you are alive now with Christ Jesus, you should be sharing that with the dead people. It says in this verse that God can point to us in future generations as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness. Is that what people see when they point at you? Look alive. John 10:10 says this, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus Christ came to earth so that His death could bring you to repentance and bring reconciliation between you and God. The reconciliation that God has been yearning for and grieving for since the book of Genesis. Since just after He created us, He's been yearning and grieving to redeem us from the dead and give us life again. I came that they may have life in it abundantly. My third point is this. Look alive. Look alive. Starting in verse 8. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created you anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things He planned for us long ago. Look alive because the dead are watching. You've been given a gift. Receive it and be excited. Receive it and be excited. When people look at you, do they see the dead? Do they notice a difference? Look alive. The corpses should notice that you are different. You have been created anew. They should stop staggering and look up and see you and know that something's different. They should be drawn unto you because you have life and they don't. They should have a hunger and they do, and it's for life and you have it. So they should be coming after you. If the dead aren't coming after you seeking your life, then look alive. Look alive because your Father is watching. You are His masterpiece, not because you are good, but only because God is good. God has created a wonderful masterpiece in you, and they've given you free will to run with it. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine painting the Mona Lisa and then having it hop off the wall and run away and go jump in a dumpster? Because that's what we've done spiritually to God. He's created a masterpiece in us, and we threw it all away for some fruit. And then we turn around, and in our own lives, we make all sorts of decisions of what we find more valuable than the gift that God has given us. Movies, drugs, other people, you name it. Put it in the blank. We can get fired up over the things of this world, but have trouble making it to church on time on Sunday morning. Amen. Now I'm preaching to the choir. I realize you people here are the two church a week goers. There's no condemnation here. But the reality is the dead out there are staggering around in the airport of this world, and they can't seem to find the exit. Somebody should show them where the exit is. You are God's masterpiece, amen? Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, "So you all should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ." I know we talk about this, and I know that the central core of the message of the Bible is God bringing redemption to us through Jesus Christ. But I think what's interesting is that sometimes we can imitate what life shows us, and we can do what everybody else does because that's where we were raised. You just watch TV, you watch your parents, you do what they do. Apparently it works. But I'd be willing to bet that apparently it does not work. That we need to be taught something new. We need to change our perspective. And you were once dead, now made alive through Jesus Christ. You need to understand what that means. You need to understand that there's nothing you can do to earn it, although you could certainly honor it. You need to understand that Jesus Christ is this gift to you for your redemption and salvation and eternity in heaven, but you need to receive it. You need to understand that you may not be able to explain it, you may not be able to fathom it, but you need to accept it. When the lost and lonely and scared and hungry of this world come to you and want the life you have, are you going to be able to give it to them? Where are the answers found? How are you going to know how this works? What are you going to say? Or are you just going to put makeup on your face and put on the disheveled clothes and shuffle along beside them and hope they don't notice? Is this encouraging? It was meant to be encouraging. I can see that it's kind of taken a first it is down. I'm not feeling encouraged. I want you to be encouraged tonight. Because I want you to know, and this is what encourages me. So hopefully it'll encourage you. that it is not on your own strength. That you did not earn this ability to be saved. You did not somehow merit this choice of being the person who gets to bring it to the next person and spread the cure. Because it's not on your own strength. It's not from you, so it's not about you. But it comes through you, amen? People are just walking corpses without Jesus. Are you getting a visual tonight? When you walk out, this was my intent. When you go out into the world tomorrow and you're at Walmart or you're at the mall or you're watching TV, that you see walking corpses. And you see that person with their head hung low, with their eyes fixated, and you realize they don't know Jesus. Because they don't look alive. Because you could see it. When someone's alive, you can see the difference. If they don't look alive, it's because they're not. Jesus is the cure. Satan's working awfully hard at encouraging the disease. Maybe we should be putting as much effort into encouraging the cure. The last thing tonight is look alive. If you're alive in Christ Jesus, it should be obvious. And not in a matter of works, not in a matter of dress, in a matter of your spirit. If your spirit's alive, people will see it. They'll see it in your eyes. They'll see it in you. And they'll realize that something's different. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. Lord God, I pray that you just make this metaphor shine, Lord God. I pray that you would just massage our hearts as we go out from this place tonight, Lord God. That if we are dead inside right now and we've just realized that you're the cure, that we can be made alive with you, Lord God, I pray that we would let that in our hearts tonight, Lord God. I pray that we would take the time to have a private moment with you, Lord God, and just call on your name. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would have the courage to use the tools you've given us to create, to change the course of this life, Lord Jesus. That we would look alive out there amongst the dead. That we would be able to recognize those who are dead spiritually and that need you, Lord Jesus. We pray all this in your holy name, Lord. Amen. 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 Be encouraged.